welcome to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministry Kids Program. My name is Kayla Jo. This program is made by and for children and youth. This hour we have Let's Read the Bible, Unlocked, Children's Bible Drama, and Daily Devotional. I hope that we can grow our faith in God as we listen to the program together. You can even invite your friends to listen to this program with you. Now, let's start this week's program. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. People have a tendency to see and interpret everything through a self-centered perspective. When someone does something that we don't do, we think that they are wrong. Likewise, when someone does not do the same things that we do, we think that they are wrong. These self-centered thoughts make people fight each other. Even in the life of faith, these moments do not disappear. While we are doing religious acts, we condemn the people that do not do the same. In other cases, when we do not do certain things, we condemn the people that do these certain acts. Within the Roman church, there seems to be the same problem. At the time, getting meat was not as easy as it is today. Today, we can simply go to a grocery store and buy it, but it was not the case during that time. Most of the meat was offered as a sacrifice to other gods. In many cases, there were merchants that bought this meat and sold it at the market. As a result, there were many church members who condemned the people who ate the meat and said that people should not eat the meat because it was sacrificed for other gods. On the other hand, there were people that said there was no other god than God himself. Where are the other gods? There is no such a thing as other gods. As they condemned those who did not eat the meat, they judged the people who did not eat the meat as people who lacked faith. There were also disagreements on whether people should worship specific days or not. In Romans chapter 14, verses 6 to 8, the Apostle Paul teaches the church members who fight over these issues. It says, "Those who think one day is special do it to honor the Lord. Those who eat meat do it to honor the Lord. They give thanks to God. Those who don't eat meat do it to honor the Lord. They also give thanks to God. We don't live for ourselves alone, and we don't die all by ourselves. If we live, we live to honor the Lord. If we die to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." He says that whether you eat something or not, or whether you value a certain day or every day, the purpose and motive for your decisions should not be for yourself, but for God. In verses 17 to 18, it says, "God's kingdom has nothing to do with eating or drinking. It is a matter of being right with God. It brings the peace and joy the Holy Spirit gives. Those who serve Christ in this way are pleasing to God. They are pleasing to people too." Instead of fighting over unnecessary things, he says to serve Jesus Christ with righteousness, peace, and happiness through the Holy Spirit. He teaches them that if this is done, God will be happy, and he says that the church members will be able to maintain a good relationship while living a Christian life. What about you? Are you making the mistake of judging and condemning other people's faith just because they do not do the same things as you do? We should not do things to show our righteousness, but to make God happy. Then, what makes God happy? It is loving God and loving others. If you love others, we stop condemning and judging what they do or don't do. Instead, together, we will be able to live a life by doing actions that please God. I hope that we can live this type of life. Now, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to stop judging and condemning others in order to make us feel more righteous. Instead, please help us to be able to do the things that make God happy. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Dylan E. from California will read the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 23 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Dylan Yee. I'm 12 years old and I live in California. Today I'm going to read Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. Let's read the Bible. Accept the person whose faith is weak. Don't argue with them where you have differences of opinion. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another person eats only vegetables because their faith is weak. The person who eats everything must not look down on the one who does not. And the one who doesn't eat everything must not judge the person who does. That's because God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Whether they are faithful or not is their own master's concern. And they will be faithful because the Lord has power to make them faithful. One person considers one day to be more holy than another. Another person thinks all days are the same. Each of them should be absolutely sure in their own mind. Whoever thinks that one day is special does so to honor the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to honor the Lord. They give thanks to God. And whoever doesn't eat meat does so to honor the Lord. They also give thanks to God. We don't live for ourselves only, and we don't die for ourselves only. If we live, we live to honor the Lord. If we die to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and came back to life. He did this to become the Lord of both the dead and the living. Now then, who are you to judge your brother or sister? Why do you act like you are better than they are?
We will all stand in God's courtroom to be judged.
It is written, "You can be sure that I live," says the Lord. And you can be just as sure that everyone will knee down in front of me. Every tongue will have to tell the truth about God.
So we will all have to explain to God the things we have done.
Let us stop judging one another. Instead, decide not to put anything in the way of a brother or sister. Don't put anything in the way that would make them trip and fall. I am absolutely sure that nothing is unclean in itself. The Lord Jesus has convinced me of this, but someone may consider a thing to be unclean. If they do, it is unclean for them. Your brother or sister may be upset by what you eat.
If they are, you are no longer acting as though you love them.
So don't destroy them by what you eat. Remember that Christ died for them. So suppose you know something is good, then don't let it be spoken of as if it were evil. God's kingdom is not about eating or drinking. It is about doing what is right and having peace and joy. All this comes through the Holy Spirit. Those who serve Christ in this way are pleasing to God. They're pleasing to people too. So let us do all we can to live in peace, and let us work hard to build up one another. Don't destroy the work of God because of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong to eat anything that might cause problems for someone else's faith. Don't eat meat if it causes your brother or sister to sin. Don't drink wine or do anything else that will make them sin. Whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the person who doesn't feel guilty for what they do, but whoever has doubts about what they eat is guilty. If they eat, that's because their eating is not based on faith.
Everything that is not based on faith is sin.
This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us every day. Through your words in the Bible and guiding us daily. It's so easy to judge others' choice how to serve you. But help us to focus on serving you according to your will and not our own understanding. Let us be better brothers and sisters in Christ by helping each other to grow in faith and not to harm and hurt each other's walk with you, Lord. May we serve you and be pleasing in your own eyes. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes every week. Here is the first episode.
The Christmas story seems a little far-fetched. How much of it really happened? Hi, I'm Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening up your heart to God. If you've grown up around the church, chances are you've heard the Christmas story many times. And it's a little unbelievable how much crazy stuff happened surrounding the birth of Jesus. Did all of that stuff, the random things that happened, the circumstances of the birth, and the people involved in the story of Christmas serve a purpose? We're going to unpack that in today's devotion. It's called Christmas, Truth Stranger Than Fiction, and it was written by Christiana Cudworth. What a fairy tale! Angels, a virgin birth, a manger, shepherds, magi. It's a great story to make us all fuzzy and warm at Christmas, but can we seriously believe the story of Jesus' birth is true? God knew the Christmas story was going to be wildly unique. In fact, He made it that way on purpose. Why? So we could know that it really is truth. How? He told us about it beforehand. The Old Testament prophecies aren't just Christmas poetry. They're solid, compelling evidence that the baby in the manger was God. Take a look. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be a ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from ancient times. That's Micah 5:2. The Messiah would be from lowly Bethlehem, written about 700 years before Christ came. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive and have a son, and name him Emmanuel. This one is from Isaiah 7:14, also about 700 years before Christmas. Emmanuel, we know, means God with us. Isaiah is saying God will come to be with us, born of a virgin. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, 1-3. Jesse was King David's father, Jesus' direct ancestor, and Jesus, discussing theology with the religious leaders at age 12 and blessed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, fits the prophecy entirely. Those three verses are just a tiny taste of the prophecies that the miracle called Christmas fulfilled. Truth stranger than fiction? Sometimes it's meant to be, so that we know it's no coincidence. Jesus is truth is the only explanation. So let's talk about this. Today's story claimed that the detailed account of Jesus' birth serves as proof it really happened because of the prophecies in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament. We looked at some of those Old Testament prophecies in our story, but now I'll give you some scriptures to look up to see how they were fulfilled on your own. Luke 24:27 and 44, John 5:39, Acts 10:43, 2 Corinthians 1:20, and 2 Timothy 3:15. And I'll leave you with this one. Luke 4:21 says, He, Jesus, began by saying to them, Today as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled. Cool stuff, huh? Hey, thanks for listening. We would love to hear from you about how the Unlocked Devo has impacted you or encouraged you to dive deeper into your relationship with God. So please feel free to message us on Facebook or on our Instagram at Unlocked Devo. We would love to hear from you. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
You guys, Christmas is just around the corner. In fact, today is Christmas Eve. Eve, what do you think is the best gift you could receive this year? Hi, it's Emily, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to opening up your heart to God. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to read one of our scriptures before the devotion. You with me? Cool. Psalm 98, 8-9. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. All right, so now that I've read the scripture, we're going to jump into our devotion. It's called Prepare Him Room, and it was written by Melissa Yeagle. Pop quiz! What famous Christmas carol was based on today's scripture reading? If you guessed Joy to the World, you're right. This psalm talks about looking forward to Jesus' return. When he comes to judge the earth in righteousness, bringing justice for every wrong done and destroying sin and its effects. Okay, here's your second pop quiz. Can you sing the first line of Joy to the World without looking at the words? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. In fact, this Christmas carol was originally written about Jesus' return, or second coming, rather than his birth. Both Jesus' birth and his return are cause for rejoicing and singing. When Jesus came as a baby, he created a way for us to be freed from sin and death so that we could be with God forever. This is because Jesus came to earth the first time to die on the cross for our sins. If we put our trust in what he did, we are freed from sin and death. Jesus' second coming is when he returns to dwell with his people forever. But the second line of this carol is just as important as the first. Let every heart prepare him room. Born that night in Bethlehem, Jesus came to prepare the hearts of his people to be in relationship with him. Without Christ, our hearts long for the wrong things, going after sin instead of the God we were made to serve. This Christmas, if you haven't already, consider the Savior who offers to free every part of you, including your heart, from sin and death. Put your trust in the forgiveness he offers you through his death and resurrection. All right, let's talk about this. How does Jesus' death and resurrection make it possible for us to be free from sin and death? Why is his return so important? If you know Jesus, What are some ways he is freeing your heart from sin even now through the power of the Holy Spirit? Read 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 for the answer to that question. And while you're at it, check out Psalm 98 as well. If you're listening on the Unlocked app, we make it really easy. There's a button you push just under the story that will take you right to that verse. Like I said, so easy. Hey, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Emily, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life. Unlocked is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries.
Joseph and Mary with baby Jesus in Mary's womb. The time has come for Christ to be born. Go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, oh silent flocks by night, behold throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when lo, above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hooray, hooray, Christ is born!
Following is the program Children's Bible Drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Manoah and his wife, who lived in the land of Zorah, became pregnant as the angel of the Lord had told them. And when the time came, the baby was born.
Honey! You did a good job. To have children even when we are so old, it is truly the grace of God.
Yes, it is the grace of God. Now, let's raise this child well, as God said.
Of course. Now, let's name this little boy in the meaning of illuminating the light of salvation in Israel in darkness. Little son, your name is Samson.
Yes, It's so great. God said this child would begin to save Israel from the Philistines. The little son that begins with salvation. Samson. That's the right name.
Samson was born that way. He grew up under the protection of God. Samson looked like a normal kid. He didn't even look strong. He wasn't particularly big, neither did he have any unusual amount of strength. Samson grew up just like a normal person. Over time, Samson also became an adult. Samson's parents are now very old.
Our son, Samson, is an adult now. So far, he is now working to start saving our people from the Philistines. What happened? I don't know. Wasn't it the word of God?
Could it be God's word is clear? It will surely happen in God's time.
Well, but Samson shall be different from the other kids. What to expect? There doesn't seem to be anything special. I'm worried.
But contrary to Manoah's worries, as Manoah's wife said, God's time came. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, came upon Samson and began to guide him. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Samson follows the Holy Spirit to a place called Timnah. There were Philistines living there. Samson saw a woman there being shown by the Holy Spirit. Then he went back to his house and told his father.
Father, I went to Timnah. There I saw a Philistine virgin. I should marry her, so father, please arrange the marriage as soon as possible.
What? What? No, Samson. What are you talking about all of a sudden? Are you married? No way. Even you are God's chosen and precious person. Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? What nonsense is there? I can't allow that marriage.
Father, I can't explain it right now, but there is a reason why I should marry her. I am right to marry her, so go ahead and let her be my wife. Please!
The reason Samson wants to marry a Philistine woman is not because she loves her. It was because God had given Samson a heart to give him the right opportunity to attack the Philistines during the course of this wedding. This marriage was God's plan, but Samson's parents didn't know about it. Samson couldn't tell them either. This was because if any of these facts became known, things could go wrong. Because of Samson's plea, Samson's parents are forced to go down with Samson to Timnah. On the way down from Samson's house to Timnah, there was a vineyard. Because Samson was a Nazarite, he ate neither wine nor raisins, nor did he enter the vineyard. When they arrived at the vineyard, Samson and his parents decided to enter Timnah through different paths.
Father, from here on it's a vineyard. Father and mother go down through the vineyard. Because the road is fast, I'm going to turn around and go down the mountain road that is far away, but there is no vineyard. See you at Timnah. Be careful.
Yeah, I see. Be careful too.
Seeing Samson's parents go into the vineyard, Samson walks down the mountain path around the vineyard. But it was then at that time, a very powerful lion appeared before Samson and was growling as if it was about to attack him. Samson in front of a mighty roaring lion. How will he get out of this crisis? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of Children's Bible Drama. Goodbye.
If you have questions about Jesus and the Bible, visit us online at keysforkids.org and then click Contact Us. There you can send us a message and we'd love to hear from you. Well, as always, I'm Zach. As always, thanks for listening to Keys for Kids. I'll see you right back here.
Following is the program Daily Devotional provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week we will listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotional. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
I try to buy pine branches at a bunch of places, but no one would sell any. Finally, I got some for free.
Salvation is kind of like that too. You can't buy it because it's already been paid for. Hi, you're tuned in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach. You know, I just realized that my parents pay for a lot of things like food, our house, and clothes for the whole family. I've started recently buying some of my own stuff, and it's expensive. That's why I'm especially grateful for the gift of salvation. You can't earn it because Jesus already paid for it on the cross, as Ephesians 2:8 explains. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, let's listen to our story for today. The title is Not for Sale. My Sunday school class is going to have a Christmas party, Avery told her family on the way home from church. Miss Weaver asked if I wanted to help with the decorations, and I said I would. I'm going to get pine tree branches, and she'll tie some bright red ribbons onto them. She says they'll make our classroom at church smell like Christmas. Where do you think you're going to get them? Asked her brother. We don't have any pine trees in the city. We don't even have a Christmas tree yet. Avery shrugged. It shouldn't be too hard to find some branches. But finding branches was more difficult than Avery had expected. Some places sold Christmas trees but didn't have any yet, and others would only give her some if she bought a tree. Now what am I going to do? She wondered. Walking home from school one day, Avery saw a pile of branches at a Christmas tree lot. She had an idea. Instead of asking for free branches, I'll buy some, she thought. They shouldn't cost much. Avery hurried home to get money from her piggy bank. Then she ran all the way back to the Christmas tree lot. When Avery asked if she could buy some of the branches, she was disappointed. "They're not for sale," the owner told her. Sadly, Avery started to walk away, but the man called her back. "They're not for sale," he said again. "They're free. Help yourself." Avery eagerly accepted all she could carry. As Avery helped decorate for the party next weekend, she told her teacher what happened. "That's a good illustration for salvation," said Miss Weaver. "You wanted to buy the branches, but you couldn't buy them because they weren't for sale. They were free. Some people think we have to buy or earn salvation by doing good deeds, but we can't buy it. The Bible says it's not for sale. It's a free gift. We can only be saved from sin and have eternal life by trusting in Jesus." Miss Weaver smiled. "I think that would make a good topic for devotions at our party, don't you?" Avery nodded in agreement. So what about you? Are you trying to buy salvation? You know, to earn it by being good, going to church or going to another place of worship or helping others? That won't work. The Bible tells us salvation is a gift from God. You can't buy it. You can only receive it as a free gift. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, and you can have forgiveness and eternal life only by trusting in Him. For more information on what it means to trust in Jesus, make sure you go to keysforkids.org/salvation. Our key verse today is found in the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8.
"For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God."
And our key thought for today, salvation is a gift. I'm Zach, and this is listener-supported Keys for Kids.
This is time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
I don't have a lot to talk about how I was saved. I mean, I wasn't a drug addict before or anything.
That's good, but you can always celebrate how God kept you free from bad stuff. You're tuned in to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. Thanks for joining me today. I used to think that my testimony was boring because I didn't really do much bad stuff before I got saved. However, I was still a sinner, and when I put my faith in Jesus, He forgave me of my sin and made me a part of God's family. So it doesn't matter if you have an exciting testimony. If God saved you, that's super awesome. Just make sure to tell other people what God has done for you. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe." Our story today is called A Great and Marvelous Thing. Allison, would you be willing to share your testimony with the rest of the group next week? Mr. Hilton asked after the Bible Club meeting. "Oh, I don't know," Allison said. "I don't really have anything to share. I mean, when people give testimonies, they tell about all the bad things they did before they were saved. They have a lot to thank Jesus for since He saved them from all that stuff." Allison sighed. "I didn't do a lot of bad things before I was saved, so what would I talk about?" Mr. Hilton smiled at her. "What bad things do you wish you had done?" he asked. Allison looked surprised. "None," she exclaimed. But when that speaker who used to be a professional football player came to talk to us, he told about his life as a drug addict before he was saved. And a woman who shared her testimony in church said she was going to take her own life when a friend came to her house and told her about Jesus. "I'm glad I never did any stuff like that, but I don't have any interesting things to talk about." Allison, you have just as much to thank God for as any of the people you've heard giving testimonies, said Mr. Hilton. Jesus did a great and marvelous thing for you just like He did for them. And even though your experience wasn't anything like theirs, you were once just as sinful as they were and headed down a path to destruction. But Jesus saved you from sin and gave you a new life. Isn't that worth talking about? Yes, said Allison hesitantly, but won't that be boring? I don't think so, said Mr. Hilton. Other kids may also think their testimony isn't worth sharing. Hearing what you have to say may help them realize how much Jesus has done for them. Sometimes God works in dramatic ways, like in those testimonies you heard, and other times he changes hearts quietly. But that doesn't make it any less amazing. Your testimony isn't about you as much as it's about him. Well, Allison hesitated. Okay, plan on my testimony next week. I want to share with everyone the amazing things Jesus has done for me. So how about you? Does it seem like your testimony, you know, the story of how you came to know Jesus as your Savior, isn't all that exciting? Well, it is. Like everyone else, you were born a sinner, and he saved you from sin and has given you eternal life. What's more exciting than that? Whether you tell just one person or a whole auditorium, let your story be a testimony to the great and marvelous thing he's done for you. Our key verse is Psalm 107:2.
Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe.
And our key thought today, all Christians have a testimony. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here is Wednesday's daily devotional.
I got up early to see the sheep, but I couldn't get too close. The sheep can get distracted from the shepherd.
It's common knowledge that sheep aren't the smartest of animals. That's why they need a good shepherd. You picked a great day to tune in to listener-supported Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach. So in the Bible, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. That's because he leads his people just like a shepherd leads sheep. And just like sheep go astray sometimes, people are easily distracted too. That is why it's so important to stay focused on Jesus at all times. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, let's listen to our story today. It's called Sheep and Shepherd. "Get up, Logan," called Grandpa. "The sheep are coming." Logan instantly jumped out of bed, pulled on his jeans and shirt, and grabbed his tablet. He was visiting his grandparents in Montana and was fascinated to hear about how shepherds led their sheep up into the mountains. "It's quite a sight to see and hear," Grandpa had told him, so Logan was eager to get some pictures. As Logan opened the front door, he heard the sheep. "It's a sheep choir," he said with a grin. "Their baas are all different." He saw a shepherd walking in front of the sheep and two sheepdogs running alongside. Logan quickly ran out into the path and aimed his tablet at the coming sheep to take a picture. "Out of the way," the shepherd called, motioning for Logan to move. "Logan, come back," Grandpa said. "If a stranger gets in front of the sheep, they can lose their focus on the shepherd and scatter." Logan hurried back to the house and snapped several pictures from the porch. "That was cool," he said after the last sheep was out of sight. "I guess sheep can be easily distracted, can't they? That's why they need to keep their eyes on the shepherd." Logan frowned. "The Bible compares Christians to sheep, doesn't it? Does that mean we're easily distracted, too?" Grandpa smiled. "We certainly can be," he said. "That's why we need to stay focused on our shepherd, Jesus. He saved us from sin and promises to care for us and provide for our needs, and he's the one we should always follow. When you feel distracted and start to look elsewhere for solutions to your problems, let the sheep remind you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Bring all your problems to him in prayer and trust him to lead you where he wants you to go." "Okay, Grandpa," said Logan. He pulled up a picture of the sheep and shepherd he had taken on his tablet and showed it to his grandpa. "I'll save this as the background on my tablet to help me remember to keep my focus on Jesus." So how about you? Where do you keep your focus? Are you looking to Jesus to guide you in your daily life? Do you go to him in prayer and seek his help in tough situations? If you know him as your Savior, he's your shepherd and he promises to take care of you. There's nothing in this world that can give you the peace and joy that he does. So keep your eyes on the shepherd and trust him to lead you. Our key verse today is found in John 10:27.
"My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me."
And our key thought today, keep your focus on Jesus. I'm Zach. Thanks for spending time with me today on listener-supported Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
I know Caleb's best friend moved away, but he doesn't have to cry about it like a girl.
Now, hey, that's not right. It is okay to cry. Even Jesus and King David cried. Are you afraid to cry in front of other people? If so, then today's story is perfect for you. Welcome to Keys for Kids. As always, my name is Zach. Do you feel like you're not allowed to show your emotions sometimes? Maybe you're a guy and you think guys shouldn't cry. Or maybe you're a girl and you don't want to be teased when you cry. Remember, it is okay to feel sad and to show it by crying. After all, Jesus cried when Lazarus died, and King David wept several times in the Bible, especially when he had to leave his best friend. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." So remember, it's okay to cry. It's how we process the way we feel while we're hurting. Our story today is called Crybaby. "I can't believe Caleb's actually crying," Gavin said in disgust. "Why does he have to be such a baby?" He picked up one of the Christmas cookies he had just finished decorating and took a bite. "Caleb's best friend just moved to another state. They've been friends since kindergarten. They played on the same teams and did almost everything together," Mom said as she put another batch of cookies in the oven. "Caleb is your brother, and you should have more sympathy for him." "He's also a 10-year-old boy who shouldn't be crying like a girl," Gavin said as he poured himself a glass of milk. "I know he's bummed about it, but boys shouldn't cry." "Gavin, who do you always say is your favorite Bible character?" asked Mom. "David, of course. He was a brave and mighty warrior king." Gavin pounded his right fist over his heart. Mom picked up her phone and looked up a Bible passage. "Please read 1 Samuel 20, verse 41 to me," she said, smiling. "It's about David moving away from his best friend." Gavin took the phone and read it out loud. "After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan 3 times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most." If you keep reading in Samuel, you'll find other instances when your mighty warrior King David cried. And he cried openly and without shame, and he's not the only one. Jesus cried too when his friend Lazarus died, even though he was about to bring the dead man back to life. Mom slid another tray of cookies into the oven. "God gave us our emotions, Gavin. It's not wrong to cry. It's how we process the way we feel while we're hurting. Jesus promises to be with us in our sorrow, and you can let your brother know that you're there for him too." Gavin sighed and stood up. "Hand me 2 more of the cookies, please." "I think you've had enough," Mom said. "They're not for me. I thought I'd take them upstairs to Caleb." Smiling, Mom nodded and gave him 3 cookies, 2 for Caleb and another for himself. So how about you? Do you get upset when somebody cries? God created us to have emotions, and crying is a healthy way to release those emotions. You can read in the Bible about many people who cried, including Jesus, in John 11:35. God loves his children and cares when they're hurting. Ask God to help you show compassion when others are sad and to help you feel better about sharing your own emotions. Our key verse is found in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 15.
"Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep."
And here's our key thought for today. It's okay to cry. If you ever have a question about God or anything else, you can send those to me and I'll do my best to answer right away. Send your questions to keysforkids.org/heyzach. Well, I'm Zach and this is Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
"Someone made dinner for us and left it by our front door. Life has been hard lately, so this was a real gift.
I wonder who did that for you. It sounds like they wanted it to stay secret. Happy Sunday! My name is Zach, and you're tuned in to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith. Don't you love doing good things for other people? It always gives me a warm feeling inside. It feels really good to be recognized for what you do. Well, if that's true, why is it that Jesus commanded Christians to keep their good deeds secret? This is what he said in Matthew 6, 3 and 4. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Our story today is called Secret Service. Hannah and Gabe waited patiently while Mom unlocked the door to their apartment building. After working at the store all day, Mom walked wearily up the stairs. I sure am tired tonight, and my feet hurt, she said. I wish I didn't have to work on Saturdays. Did you kids have a good day at Gina's house? It was fine, said Hannah. Did you hear from Dad yet? Their father had driven to a nearby city hoping to find work. Yes, he had a busy day too, said Mom, but no promise of a job yet. She sighed. Well, I'd better get dinner started. Gabe sniffed the air. Where is that good smell coming from? When they reached the top of the stairs, they saw a box outside the door to their apartment. Mom opened it, and the delightful smell of potatoes and ham became stronger. Who could have done this? Mom wondered. Look, here's a card, exclaimed Hannah. It says, May God bless you and give you strength. All good gifts come from him. It isn't signed, but the card has our church name and logo printed on it. But who at church made all this? Gabe asked. We have to figure it out so we can thank them. That was my first thought, too, said Mom as she carried the box inside and set it on the table. But then I realized that whoever did this doesn't want us to know who they are. It wasn't done for praise or thanks. It was done as a service to God to encourage us and to show us his love. I, for one, am very grateful. Well, I'd at least want to thank you if I did all that work, said Hannah. Me too, chimed in Gabe. Mom smiled. It's nice to be appreciated for what we do, but this service was done in secret so all our thanks would go to God. Like the note says, all good things come from him. Let's thank him for sending this person to help us remember that. He's the one who will reward them, not us. Gabe grinned. Okay, I'll set the table and then we can thank God for the food and for the secret servant who brought it to us. So what about you? Can you do a kind deed for someone? Would you be willing to let God receive all the thanks and praise? Acts of service done in secret help bring people's attention to God and his love and care. Why not be one of God's secret servants? Think of a secret service project you can do today. God will reward your faithful service and use it to point people to him. Our key verse is Matthew 6, 4.
Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
And our key thought for today, God rewards service. As always, I'm Zach. This is Keys for Kids.
Child in Bethlehem town.
Wasn't that a blast doing the daily devotionals? I hope that this was a time for you to become a lot closer to Jesus. Don't forget to talk to your parents about the story you heard today on Daily Devotional. I'm sure your family will have a great time talking about it together. I hope that you can read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. God bless you. Goodbye.